Right. Have your Bibles tonight. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians. Is this all right for Wednesday night?
Amen.
Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. I may have to split this one in two. But 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, say brethren. Who's he talking to? That not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of this world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world, the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not to bring nothing, the things that are. That no flesh should glory in his presence. Because it's God's doing and it's marvelous in our eyes. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and we praise you and we magnify your name. Thank you, Lord. For Lord, your word says even where two or three are gathered, there you are in the midst. And Lord, we thank you for how you have truly been blessing and ministering and moving in our services and in our hearts and our lives. And in the lives of many, many in this house, Lord. God, we do not take it for granted. Forgive us if we ever do. But God, we praise you and we worship you and we thank you immensely. Our words are inadequate, God. But God, as we look into your word, Lord, speak to our hearts, speak to our minds, speak to our spirits tonight. And we thank you again in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
I want to talk to you tonight about an opportunity. An opportunity. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the things that shame the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. So many times, church, we feel that we have to have some type of outstanding ability or some type of outstanding talent to serve the Lord or to really do something outstanding for him. We think we must be able to perform great feats of spirituality in order to really be used of the Lord. And about the time I ever get lifted up in pride, especially after a good service on Sunday or a good altar call or something, the Lord reminds me, he says, by the foolishness of preaching, he's chosen that to win the loss. So God has a sense of humor many times. God has called a few exceptional of these types of people, the wise, the mighty, the noble. He's called a few of those, but not many. Most of the time, God uses extraordinary people to do extraordinary things. I'm going to say that again. Most of the time, God uses extraordinary people to do extraordinary things in and through their lives to touch others. We were talking about, at men's breakfast, men's breakfast, I did the devotion, and we were talking about the gift of labor and the work, having a good work ethic. God never called a lazy person. God never called a lazy person. Every time God called somebody, they were doing something. Now, again, what kind of people did God call? This is kind of the same part, kind of the list that we used on Sunday morning at the men's breakfast. He called Moses, who was a shepherd tending sheep, and he was 75 years old. And Moses turned aside to see a bush that was burning. David was left out of the big party when the prophet Samuel came to daddy's house. David was the lowest of the kids, and he had to be stuck out there keeping the sheep, but God called him in from tending the sheep. He called Gideon when he was out threshing wheat, trying to save it from the Midianites. He called Elisha plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. Now, I got to thinking about that. My mind gets... How many of you think you could handle one oxen? 12 yoke is 24 oxen. Elisha's a dude. because he is plowing with 24 oxen. Can you imagine? I'd hate to see the plow. Hello. He called Elisha while he was plowing. He called Esther when she was trying to be queen. He called Amos when he was growing figs and was a herdsman. He called Peter and Andrew, James and John when they were fishing. He called Matthew collecting taxes. And he called Paul as he was persecuting Christians. These were not your particularly outstanding individuals. They were not the wisest or the most noble or the most mighty, but they were called of God. And God took common, hardworking individuals and did extraordinary things in and through their lives. God presented them with an awesome opportunity to serve Him. Some may have been hesitant at first, but they were willing to obey and do what He called them for. They made the most out of the opportunity that God had given them. Some of the opportunity God brings our way are really, applying that to us, some of the opportunities that God brings our way are really divine appointments that God has for us. He brings opportunities in our lives, not only to touch our lives, but through our lives to touch somebody else. Can you say amen? God took what these individuals and many more that we talked about a little earlier, He took what they had, and many of them were just extraordinary things, and He did extraordinary miracles in and through those situations and in and through what they had. Moses had a stick. Moses had a rod. And when God got a hold of Moses' rod, guess what? Tremendous things happened. Rivers turned to blood. Dust turned to lice. Light turned to dark. Seas parted. Can you say amen? He took Esther's beauty and saved a nation. He took David's sling and a stone and defeated a giant. He took Paul's knowledge of the word according to religion, but when he applied the Holy Ghost to it, turned the world upside down. But y'all know how I think sometimes. You probably wish I'd think a little bit more. What if? Say what if. What if they had not taken the opportunity? What if Moses hadn't turned aside to see that burning bush? What if Elisha would have just kept on plowing? What if Gideon would have just kept on sifting wheat? What if Peter and John would have kept on fishing? What if Esther would have kept silent? What if they didn't take advantage of their opportunities that God had given them? I think about Esther, and I like what Mordecai told her. Mordecai told them to answer Esther. Esther chapter 4, verse 13 and 14. Mordecai told them to answer Esther, "Do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Esther's uncle Mordecai says, "Esther, this is your opportunity. This is your moment. This is what God has brought you and put you in that position for. What are you going to do with the opportunity?" Can you say amen? But what if? What if they had not taken advantage of the opportunity? I believe three things. We wouldn't have them as examples. They would have missed the greatest opportunity they ever had. Many others would not have been impacted by the Lord. Here's the awesome thing. God's opportunity will always, always interrupt your present plans. God's opportunities will always interrupt your present plans. And if those opportunities are large enough, it will completely change your future. If those opportunities are large enough, it will completely change your future. How many people in the Bible did God give opportunities to, and they didn't choose to follow or obey? Well, we never know. We'll never know. But as we think about that, how many times have we missed opportunities that God put before us by saying, Lord, not right now, maybe later, I'm too busy, I'd rather hold on to what I'm doing than to follow you. Lord, I got a few other things to do right now, but if you'll give me a few moments, I'll get to it. Lord, I don't think I'm qualified or able. Lord, let me take care of this other stuff first. How many times have we might have missed opportunities? Y'all see where we're going tonight. I want us to look at a couple of examples of some folks that missed opportunities in the Scripture. Acts chapter 26, verse 27. Acts chapter 26, verses 27 through 29. Paul is talking to King Agrippa. He has an audience with King Agrippa. And he says something very interesting to King Agrippa. Verse 27, King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you do believe. King Agrippa had a full understanding of what was going on. He had a full understanding of who Jesus is. He had a full understanding about the Christian way. And Paul says, do you believe do you believe the word? I know you believe. Then Agrippa said to Paul, you almost persuade me to become a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me today might become both almost and altogether such as I am, except for these chains. Is it enough just to believe in Jesus Christ? Is it enough just to believe in his death, burial, and resurrection? King Agrippa tells us something here. It shows us something in this verse that we need to understand. There's one thing to believe, but then you've got to become. Paul said, I know you believe, but you ain't become yet. I know you believe, King Agrippa. And King Agrippa said, almost you persuade me to become a Christian. You've heard it before. It's a difference between the head knowledge and the heart knowledge and the acceptance of it. There's a lot of people that believe in Jesus Christ. They believe he is who he said he was. Now, if you ask Alexa's going to tell you Jesus Christ is a fictional character. Whoa. Hello. I got all Fox. Because you got to understand there's somebody programming all that stuff. Hello. But it's one thing to believe in Christ, but then to become a Christian. It's a matter of acceptance and receiving him as, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart, there's an acceptance there. To believe and to what? To become. Can you say amen? But what could have happened? King Agrippa missed the greatest opportunity. What could God have accomplished through this king? What could he have accomplished through King Agrippa? This man had power, he had authority. He had a world platform. He could have influenced many in his government. But we'll never know because he missed his opportunity. Another example, Mark chapter 10, a rich young ruler. Now as he was going, talking about Jesus, going on the road, one came running, knelt before him and asked him, good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. And he answered and said to him, teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth. Then Jesus, looking at him and loved him, and said to him, one thing you lack, go your way and sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come take up your cross and follow me. But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Jesus purposely, we've talked about this before. You looked at this scripture before. Jesus purposely mentioned the last six of the Ten Commandments. This guy's not a sinner. He's not a demon-possessed dude. He's a pretty good guy. He says, I've kept all these from my youth. What lack I yet? Thou shalt not have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto you any false images, and you should not bow down and worship them. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Do not take the Lord's name in vain. He missed the first four commandments that dealt with our relationship with God. See his love and his commitment to his possessions and his stuff was greater than his love and his commitment and his love for the Lord. He was a good guy, but he missed his opportunity. Jesus wasn't asking him to do anything that he hadn't asked others to do. Can you say amen? But what could this young man have done? What could this rich young ruler have done? We don't know. We don't know. The young ruler went away sad. He was not willing to turn loose of the stuff. He wanted eternal life, but not to truly follow Christ. Christ laid down the standard again to the rich young ruler. But the rich young ruler refused the standard. He missed the greatest opportunity in his life, all because he wanted to hold on to the stuff. His love for his possessions and his commitment to his lifestyle and possessions was greater than his love for and commitment to the Lord. See, Jesus says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Christ just simply said, get rid of some stuff. Get rid of those things that are in the way. Take up your cross and you'll have eternal life. Come follow me. One thing I thought about this rich young ruler. Could this guy have been another Paul? Could he have been another Peter? Could he have been another John? We'll never know. Because when Christ called, when Christ gave him the opportunity, he held on to his stuff and his possessions became between him and the Lord. How tragic. What a lesson for us to learn from. Hebrews 12:1, we hit on all over on this Sunday morning and Sunday night. Therefore, we also, say we, since we are surrounded by so great a light cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Not only does those weights and those sins bear us down and hinder our relationship with God, but how many times have we allowed those weights and those sins and those burdens to rob us of opportunities to truly serve God? How many times has the stuff and the burdens and the cares and the frustrations and all the weights of the life that we seem to hold on to, how many times has it distracted us from stepping into the opportunities that God has for us? That's why the Lord says we need to lay those things aside so we can take full advantage of the opportunities. Can you say amen? But I'm afraid we're almost like the rich young ruler sometimes. Our love for and the commitment to other things sometimes comes at a greater amount than our love for and commitment to the Lord. Now, surely not the folks on Wednesday night. This is a Wednesday night crowd. Y'all even showed up and we wouldn't even have Wednesday night meals. Y'all are real good. Amen. Something to think about. Hello? Y'all with me tonight? The writer of Hebrews is simply saying, lay aside the stuff and the sin and take advantage of the opportunities before us. Take advantage of the opportunities that God gives will yield great reward, not only in heaven, but here on this earth as well. Jesus, in Mark chapter 10, verse 23, if y'all give me just a minute, we'll get through this tonight. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus answered and said to them, children, how hard is it for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God? Notice he changes the phrase here. He says, from those who have riches to those who trust in riches. There's a difference. God's not against folks being wealthy. God's not against folks working hard and making a good living and being prosperous. I would, above all things, that you prosper and be in health. Can you say amen? But when we begin to trust more in the prosperity and the things that our hard work gets us, when we begin to trust more in the finances and the material possessions than the presence and personality and the power of God in our lives, that's when the problem begins to come in. That's when we can miss the opportunities. That's what Jesus was dealing with. He said, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And they were greatly astonished, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said, with men this is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. Then Peter began to say to him, see, we have left all and followed you. So Jesus answered and said, surely I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers, children, lands, with persecutions in the age to come, eternal life. Look what Peter is saying. All these great men and the servants of God, not only because of their ability, they chose to receive and act on the opportunity Christ had given him. They were willing. I like what sometimes Peter makes a big blunder with his lips, but boy, this time he did. He said, Lord, look, we have left all and followed you. What is he saying? We have taken full advantage of the opportunities you have given us. We fully embrace the opportunities that you've given us. So what's in it for us? Jesus said, you're going to be blessed 100-fold here, not only there, but here, and in the age to come, eternal life. You can't outgive the Lord. How many? We know this. This is the Wednesday night crowd. We know this. Can you say amen? You can't outdo the Lord. You can't outbless him. You can't outgive him. You can't outpraise him. You can't outwork him. You can't. But when we are doing our best to serve him, and it's a matter of being fully surrendered to him. And as we are fully surrendered to him, then we are fully surrendered to the opportunities he brings our way. And as I said before, those opportunities will always interrupt your plans. But it will never interrupt God's purpose, because that is his purpose and his plan. But when we step in those plans and when we step and we walk in those opportunities, hallelujah, look out. You might have to hold your breath. It's called that step of faith. God will prove himself mighty time and time again, and he will bless you tremendously. Notice he also says there's going to be persecutions along the way. But he also said in John, he said, be of good cheer. He said, I've overcome the world. Can you say amen? God rarely calls the equipped, but he always equips the called. When God calls and gives us opportunities, number one, meet his standards. If there's things standing in the way, hindering us from stepping into those opportunities, set them aside. Make full use of the opportunities. Allow him to show and help you remove the obstacles in your life so you can make full use of the opportunities God has given you. Pray and ask God, God, show me how to make full use of this opportunity. Keep in mind, God's not only just trying to bless you. He's trying to work in and through your life to bless you. So guess what? Somebody else can be blessed and their life can be impacted. Can you say amen? Every person we mentioned earlier, from Moses to Gideon to Peter, John, and James, it wasn't so much about them getting a blessing. It's about them taking advantage of the opportunity, and it blessed and touched thousands of people. Ordinary, extraordinary people, because they took advantage of the opportunity, did extraordinary things. Can you say amen? There's no telling. Be willing to allow God to change your plans, and if necessary, to change your life. There's no telling what God will do in and through our lives if we would be willing to make full use of the opportunities that God brings our way. We'll never know our full potential as Christians until we apply ourselves fully to the opportunities God has for us. I'm going to close with this last scripture, Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, "These things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David." I like this part. He who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. "I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength and have kept my word and not denied my name." I want to read that last part again. "I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength and have kept my word and have not denied my name." What was the Lord Jesus telling him? He says, "I have set before you an awesome opportunity. And no one can stand in the way." He said, even in what you think your little strength is, because you have kept my word and not denied my name. And friends, when God brings those opportunities like that, God, give us faith to step through those doors. Because when you do, your faith just skyrockets. Can you say amen? Your trust skyrockets. But it's not always about us. What can God do in and through someone who is willing to step through those open doors and embrace those opportunities that no one can shut? There's no telling. There's no telling who's going to be impacted. There's no telling whose life's going to be changed. There's no telling what can happen. But we'll only find out as we take advantage of the opportunities. How many of you know we're not only supposed to take it? You say, "Well, I'm waiting for that big opportunity." Well, let me tell you how to do while you're waiting in the meantime. Go ahead and step through the little opportunities. Jesus said, he who is faithful in little will also be faithful in what? Much. But he who is unfaithful in little, if we won't take care of the little opportunities, we're not going to handle the big ones. But if we'll be faithful in the little opportunities, look out. That open door, that big opportunity is coming. I also often wonder, "Lord, you know, who's this for?" I don't know. But I know this is for someone here tonight. It may be for many people here tonight. That you've been seeking God's guidance. You've been seeking His direction. You've been seeking His answer about something that you've been praying about. And it may not look as you thought it would look. It may not appear as you thought it would appear. It may not come about as you thought it was going to come about. But let me tell you, when Father brings it about, that open door, no one can shut it. But then you just say, "God, give me the faith to step through it into that opportunity." Then watch God work. Father, tonight, help us tonight. Help us to be like those saints of old. Help us to be like those saints of old. Lord, to recognize those opportunities. And sometimes, Lord, we need to lay aside those weights and the sin. Sometimes those weights are the distractions that hinder or rob our time with you, that get us so caught up in all the stuff, God. All the things of this world. Help us to lay those things aside sometimes, Lord, that we could hear your voice, that we could recognize those opportunities.